Tonight, I've got a message. Who can guess what it's about? Proverbs. A message from the book of Proverbs, please. And this is part 18. Wow. Part 18. So Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to look at the last few verses in chapter 4 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 27. Verse 20, my son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us get some instruction out of this for our lives, that we might be pleasing to him. Eh? Thank you, Lord, for your word that, as we've just mentioned, instructs us, Lord, and tells us what you desire for us in our lives, Lord, as we desire to walk in a path that pleases you, Lord, and bring glory to you, Lord, and have a life that is blessed of you, Lord. We pray that your word would speak to us, Lord. It's able to speak to us, Lord. We thank you for that. We do pray this afternoon that as we look at these scriptures, Lord, and see what you're saying to them to us through them, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will teach us, Lord, and help us to be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. This afternoon we are continuing our study from the book of Proverbs, and this will be part 18. Part 18. Based on verses 20 to 27 of chapter 4. Here in these verses we've just read, Solomon continues to exhort and convince his son that if he is to avoid the paths of wickedness, then he is to get the wisdom and understanding which originates only from a healthy fear of God. And he is to love that wisdom and understanding and keep them in his heart. He emphasizes the spiritual safety that comes from exalting wisdom and understanding to a place of highest honor in his life. We are instructed in verse 23 of this chapter about the heart and how it influences all of the issues and circumstances of our lives, either for good or for evil. Proverbs 4:23 reads, keep thine heart, keep your finger in Proverbs 2 and you'll see. Verse 23 reads, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, I did a whole message on that recently, and we'll just rehash a little bit of it. Here, Solomon gets to the very deepest part of the mystery of life and man's relationship with God. He has brought our attention to the very centre of man's life, the heart. The heart. We can be confident in the knowledge that there is more true enlightenment, more illumination and information about the true nature of man in Proverbs than there is in all of the psychological books that have ever been written. Be confident of that. Amen. Man's intellectual greatness and his powers of rationality, in which he prides himself, is able to proclaim something as absolute truth and wisdom one day, only have it updated and reassessed at a later date when some new discovery about something he professed to know everything about is made. Psychologists may claim to have everything worked out about the nature of man and what makes him tick, but until they discover and are willing to accept that there is a God that they are responsible to, and that man's problems are not simply of a psychological nature, but spiritual, then, as our previous study of Proverbs pointed out, the one we had last week, I think it was, they grope around in darkness, knowing not at what they stumble. That's what God says. And I know it's true, because I was on that road myself for 35 years before I got saved. I stumbled around in darkness until I fell over the edge of a big bank and hit disaster. We stumble in darkness when we try and live our life without God. The issues of our personal lives, whether good or bad, come from our hearts, so God tells us. Like springs of underground water that issue forth to create gentle flowing streams or raging flooded rivers, so is the heart of man. Jesus taught his disciples and the gathered multitudes in Luke 6:45, saying, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The abundance of the heart. What comes out of the mouth comes from the heart, my friends. Despite outward appearances, every man is really that which is in his heart. What is in the heart will issue forth, spoken through the mouth or acted out in his personal behaviour. In verse 21, Solomon urges his son to keep the word of God in the midst of his heart, because this is the way to keep the heart from going astray and leading us off the path of light and righteousness and onto the path of darkness and wickedness. These words that he is relating are life, he tells his son in verse 22. The words that I speak are life, he told him. Psalm 119 and verse 11 is an important question is asked about how is it possible for a Christian to order his life in a manner that pleases God? And the answer to the question is provided for our convenience. In there we read, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O Lord. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Good scripture. Good scripture. You don't want to sin against God. Hide his word in your heart. And when the tempter comes, you'll know, hey, this is not right. Let's get away from here. By taking heed to what the word of God teaches, not just believing that it actually is truth, but receiving it and loving it, despite whether for a particular occasion it brings joy and encouragement, or whether it brings rebuke and sorrow. If we receive it as well as love it, we will be equipped to order our lives in a manner that pleases God. A lot of people know the truth. They don't receive a love of it. And this is the reason why God says, I give them over to a strong delusion. It's not that they don't know the truth. They do know the truth. They even know it's true. But they don't receive a love of it. That's the problem. So God says, I give them over to a strong delusion. By hiding the teaching of the Word of God in our hearts, allowing it to speak into all of our life circumstances so that we don't wander away from it, then we will be pleasing to God and we will avoid ending up in a dreadful place of confusion, doubt and despondence. Despondence. You keep walking along the path without God, you're going to come to a place which is not pretty, my friend. The words of the Bible are unlike those of any other book. Hebrews 4:12 instructs us that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God knows every thought. He knows every intention of our hearts. The Holy Spirit is able to do that. And the Word of God is able to convict us when we've got something that's going on. Amen? In the original Greek, the word translated as quick actually means that the Word of God is alive. It has spiritual life in it. The words live within the hearer. And they actively work within him to change his life. They are alive. And they are able to discern the very thoughts and intentions of what we are imagining in our wicked hearts at any given time. Like the piercing sharpness of a warrior's sword or the cutting razor sharpness of a doctor's scalpel, they bring the conviction of the Holy Spirit which God uses to lead us and guide us into his will. John 6 and 63, Jesus announced that it is the Spirit that quickeneth. John 6:63, God says that. Jesus said it. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. It is the Spirit that gives life, is what Jesus is teaching. He continued on to make the distinction between his spiritual living words and the dead, natural and fleshly understanding that those listening to him were applying to what he was saying. John 6 is a very special chapter for people who have got it wrong, where Jesus was saying things that were spiritual and they were applying fleshly understanding to it. He said, if you eat of my flesh, they got upset and departed from him. John 6:66. Most of the disciples departed from him. They didn't understand that he was speaking spiritually. They thought he was speaking fleshly. Anyhow, in verse 63, Jesus continued on to say about his word, the flesh profiteth nothing. It profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And we need to see God's word as that. They're spiritual words, amen? Paul said in Acts 20 and verse 32 that the word of God is able to build us up. And in 1 Peter 2:2 we are again told that the word of God will make us grow spiritually. By keeping God's very words hidden in our hearts, we will be spiritually clean and safe from wandering from the commandments of God, and therefore living lives that are honourable and pleasing to Him. We will also demonstrate a faithful testimony to those who watch us. Amen. Very important. Those who know we claim to be Christians and that we have forsaken the world and all of its enticements and false pleasures and profess that we belong to God. Be careful with your testimony. Someone was telling me this morning about a JW man that came talking to them, right? And another lady came along and he took off, and this lady was unsaved and said to this person, "I know a JW, he's an evil, wicked man, and we need to tell the police about him, you see. But he's passing himself off as a Christian, and not good." The unsaved can smell if you're a hypocrite, my friend, as little kids in the classroom do too. If they know you don't know what you're teaching them, they'll be on you and give you trouble. But unsaved people know a hypocrite, know a hypocrite. They smell them a mile away. Now, verse 20 and 21 of Proverbs 4 tells us that God's truth must be received into the heart and kept in the midst of the heart. It's to be received into the heart and kept in the midst of the heart. Verse 21 says, "Let them not depart from thine eyes." This is done by reading scriptures. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Read the scriptures. Verse 20 says, "Incline thine ear to my saying." This is speaking about hearing the word of God preached. God wants us to come and hear the word preached. Preaching, reading, he gave preachers. How can they know without a preacher? How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of them that bring good news. Talking about preachers. In verse 21, it also says, "Keep them in the midst of thine heart." This speaks about memorizing scripture in such a way that when a situation arises where false teachers are teaching heresy, or perhaps a situation comes in our life where we need direction from the Lord, then the scriptures are able to be recalled by the Holy Spirit from the midst of our heart. And if we don't know what the Word of God says, the Holy Spirit can't recall the words, my friend. We must have the spiritual words in us for the Holy Spirit to be able to use them for us in our lives. That's important to know, because if you haven't read the Word of God, you don't know what God says. It doesn't just fall out of the sky. We're supposed to diligently study this stuff and get it into us. Get it into us. So the minute somebody says something wrong, immediately you know. That's not scriptural. The Holy Spirit uses that to bring a warning to you. If a person does not receive God's word into their heart, the word will not be able to do its intended work. Many Christians know the truth with their minds, but they have never received those truths into their hearts. They know that Jesus is the Son of God and that he came to die for our sins. They know he was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven. They know the basic truths of the Bible, but these truths do not change their lives because their hearts are devoted to other things. Their hearts are focusing on making money, or having pleasure, or seeking after the praise of men, or on sports, or whatever, and therefore the Word of God has no real place in their hearts. This is the condition of a multitude of professing Christians who have grown up in Christian homes, even being homeschooled or attending a Christian college or school and regularly attending church throughout their younger years. They know many things about Jesus and the Bible, giving the impression to everyone and even convincing themselves that they are genuine Christians because their pastor or youth leader has told them so. But in reality, they have never been truly converted. They've never truly received the truth of the Word of God into their hearts. We need to make sure they have. Solomon in his wisdom shows that he is not content simply to try and get his children to do right, but he wants to reach their hearts and to teach them to do right from the heart. Many times Christians will do the right things, but at the very same time their hearts are devoted to something else. They are not serving God from the heart. God doesn't accept this half-hearted devotion to him. And parents and church leaders should not assist in their young people's acceptance of this either. That everything's okay because they're in church and they're doing, you know, mouthing off the stuff. It's got to be in our hearts, my friends. We've got to love God and serve God from our hearts. In verse 23 of Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon teaches his son, and therefore God teaches us today, "Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Although we live in a culture where physical attraction and the pampering of the body for the purpose of impressing everyone has become the most important thing in most people's lives today, the scriptures make it clear that the heart is the most important thing to maintain. And it's not talking about having a healthy diet. It's not talking about having a healthy heart by eating the right food with no smoking or drinking, which causes health issues for the physical heart. But it's a spiritual heart that we are encouraged here to keep healthy with all diligence. In 1 Timothy 4:8, Paul speaks on the subject of pampering the physical body, where he wrote to Timothy, "Bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." We see lots of Christians today who are more interested in their physical heart and their physical body than they are in their spiritual heart. Hillsong's got these health groups that they get together. They go up and down Red Arrow or running along the Esplanade Broadwalk down there. Groups of them from churches. You can tell them, actually. You can smell them a mile away. Pentecostals. All beautiful looking and healthy looking. But they're concentrating on their body, their physical heart and their physical body, rather than the spiritual. If you try to tell them about something spiritual, they don't want to hear you. They don't like the JW. Talk to them about, what does the Bible say? They mock you. We're in the spirit. We're not in the commandments of God. Get lost. Anyhow, in the physical body, the heart is central to everything. And it's from the heart that flows the life-sustaining blood to every part of the body. Spiritually and morally too, everything in a man's life flows from his heart, which refers not to the physical heart of flesh, but to the centre of man's thinking, his emotions and his will. Whatever controls the spiritual heart controls the whole life. Every action is preceded by a thought in the heart. In the Bible there are references to man's thinking in his heart and understanding with his heart. He devises his way with his heart. These are all things that God says about the heart. He devises his way with the heart. The heart meditates, considers, purposes, takes counsel, reasons, desires, has intentions, and heaps more. From this heart proceed all the actions and motivation of the man. The natural heart is foolish and darkened, we are told in Romans 1:21. In Ephesians 4:18, we are told that it is blind. And in Mark 7:21 and 23, we are reminded that it is the source of sin in our lives. In 2 Corinthians 2:15, we are told that the unbelieving heart is veiled to the truth, and it's hard and impenitent. And in Romans 2:5 and Hebrews 3:12, man's heart is described as evil before God. And yet, I don't know how many times many professed Bible believers I've met over the years who have told me that they made some vitally important decision in their lives based upon the assurance that it was God who was telling them that it was right and proper to do, because their heart felt right to do it. I've met heaps of people over the years. Professing Christians, ladies and men, get unequally yoked in marriage and with unbelievers because their heart felt right about it. And most have suffered grievous consequences that have affected them for the rest of their lives. I tell you, people that tell me, "Oh, my heart feels right about this," hang on, it's contradicting the Word of God. It can't be from God. God doesn't contradict His Word. So what you're imagining out of your heart is not from God. It's from your wicked heart. They conveniently forget or had never read 2 Corinthians 6:14, which warns, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" I quoted that to someone recently and they said, doesn't apply. And they also conveniently forget about Jeremiah 7:9, which gives another clear warning about listening to the counsels of our heart. It reads, "The heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." The scripture reminds us that it is only God who can know it. Only God. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." And he goes on to say, "But who can know it?" Good question. Man can't. God does. Salvation is a matter of repenting and believing in the heart. The gospel of Jesus Christ must be obeyed from the heart, we are told in Romans 6:17-18. "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, being made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. Salvation is something we have to receive in our hearts, not in our head. Backsliding and carnality and worldliness are matters of the heart. No believer falls into sin. No one just falls into sin. We commit grievous sins because we have allowed the heart to dwell upon sin. Is that right? Verses 24 to 27 of Proverbs read, you're still in there, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. These verses show that the heart affects a person's actions. To keep the heart on the path of righteousness, these verses tell us three things that we must do. Three things in there. We must guard what we say with our mouths, what we see with our eyes, and where we go with our feet. Amen. If the heart goes out of the right way, then the mouth, eyes and the feet go out of the right way too. And once the mouth, eyes and feet go out of the right way, the heart goes even further out of the light of the path of righteousness and into increasing darkness of the path of the wicked. By filling our mouths with good things and looking upon the things that are right, the heart is kept filled with light and blessing. We must guard what we say with our mouths. Those three things. We guard what we say with our mouths, what we see with our eyes, and where we go with our feet. We must guard what we say with our mouths. If the mouth is allowed to say perverse and evil things, then the gate of the heart will be broken down, allowing all kinds of evil to enter in. Proverbs has much to say in warning about the mouth. Let me quote a few examples. We are encouraged that we should not speak words that are perverse in Proverbs 15:4, or useless in Proverbs 10:20, or proud in Proverbs 14:3, or untruthful in Proverbs 12:22, or angry in Proverbs 19:11, or foolish in Proverbs 15:2, or hurtful in Proverbs 12:18, and we could go on giving many more examples. That's what God says about the mouth. Not only must we be careful about saying wrong things, but we should also be careful about talking too much. We are warned about this in Proverbs 11:19. We are also warned to think before speaking in Proverbs 15:28, and again in Proverbs 29:11. Wrong thoughts will arise in the heart of every person. We'll all have wrong thoughts, including Christians, all right? Otherwise, God wouldn't need to give so much instruction in the Scriptures about what we are to do about them. If we didn't have a problem with thoughts, God wouldn't have had to instruct us about it, would He? Why has He written all this about our hearts? Because, and our thoughts. Because God knows it's common to Christians too. The important thing for us, if we truly want to live in a manner that pleases God, is what do we do with those thoughts when they do come? We can't prevent every wrong thought from coming, but we can and must evaluate them and immediately judge them to be wrong and reject them, not dwelling upon them in our minds and therefore allowing them to be manifest in what comes out of our mouths. Secondly, we must guard what we see with our eyes. If we allow our eyes to look at evil things, then the heart will be filled with evil.
TV.
TV. And all these screens today, pumping out evil. Evil. And we wonder why all this generation has gone off the rails. Easy to work out. They're receiving all this stuff in their minds from their eyes. They're looking at stuff. And we need to guard what we see with our eyes. If we allow our eyes to look at evil things, then the heart will be filled with evil too. In Matthew 6:22, we are told that the eye is the light of the body. In Job 31 and verse 1, we read of Job making a covenant with his eyes. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Well, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Job knew full well that allowing his eyes to look upon a maid for any length of time would also very soon have him thinking upon a maid in a way that is not pleasing to God. If things were bad in Job's day, how much worse is it today with the immodest dress standards that prevail both in the world and inside the churches? That's why God tells the ladies especially to dress modestly. Dress modestly. The blokes have got a... We're fallen, sinful human beings. The blokes have got a problem with their eyes. And if we blokes allow our eyes to dwell upon a maid, we'll soon be dwelling upon their maid in our thoughts. Right? So we need to guard against that. But you have to be strong today to obey that commandment from God. I'm telling you that ladies get around in stuff that's provoking you. Can't go anywhere without half-naked women. I go down the Esplanade of a morning for a walk. It's unreal down there. It's good practice for me to keep my mind straight while I'm walking. Good practice. Because there's ladies down there that are dressed in such manner. Anyhow, in Psalm 103, and, hey, today, unheard of when I was a young bloke, all the girls are perving on the men. The girls are perving on the men. Looking at them and lusting. It's horrendous. And TV is teaching the new generation of kids that that's okay. It's not okay. You see, I don't go watching all these soapies, but I see them when I'm watching something on the TV, the ads come up. The girls now are chasing after the men. And they're the ones that are sort of like the stronger one in the partnership. They grab the men and kiss them. That wasn't so when I was a young bloke. It wasn't so. And it's teaching the young girls to be like that. We wonder why we've got all these problems. And the young blokes are lapping it up, I can tell you. They love it. It's horrendous what's going on. The TV. Dave Crow, our missionary, he wrote a little booklet called 666, the TV. And independent people, independent members of independent Baptist churches mocked him. Because he wrote this booklet making out that the TV was the Antichrist or the mark of the beast. I tell you what, there was more truth in there than these other people that were mocking him had. TV is a dangerous thing. Not the TV only now, it's all these tablets and things everywhere just pumping out all this rubbish to the young people. Anyhow, in Psalm 103:3, King David wrote, this is what King David wrote, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. No wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. David knew that if he allowed himself to look at wicked things, he would soon be getting involved in wicked things. It was through looking at the wrong things that Eve was caused to transgress. And it was through looking that King David was caused to commit adultery. And eventually to murder as well. We have to keep our eyes looking straight ahead on the path of righteousness and not allow them to look at the evil things that line up to tempt us on either side of the path. Thirdly, we must guard where our feet go. Every step that we take with our feet must be carefully considered so that we will walk on the well-lit path of the just rather than on the darkened path of the wicked. We must guard our feet from walking in fellowship and unity with sinners and from allowing our feet to enter places of evil where the world and the things of the world wait in the dim light to pounce on us. Take some steps on the dark path of the wicked and you'll soon be ambushed, my friends. The person of godly wisdom will live his life in a thoughtful manner, guiding his decisions by God's word. Our thoughts must be taught by the scriptures so that we think God's thoughts rather than our own thoughts. We have to beware of drifting throughout life without aim, care or thought, and of making decisions based upon what is popular or fashionable or what our friends are doing or what our relatives would like or what is traditional or what excites our emotions or what pleases the sight of our eyes, etc., etc., etc. The decisions we make determine the direction of our lives and they blend together to form the sum of our lives. Consequently, we need to consider carefully and prayerfully and scripturally such decisions as friendship, music, clothes, entertainment, church, job, marriage, and everything else that can adversely affect if we make a wrong choice. They can affect us horrendously if we make a wrong choice in any of these areas. One commentator said, and I'm closing with this, the best time to think about any path is not at the end, nor even in the middle, but at the beginning of it. Those who rush headlong onto a path of conduct because they like it, and then begin to consider whether it is the right one, will probably either induce himself to believe a lie or refuse to follow discovered truth. I'll read that again. Pretty profound. The best time to ponder any path is not at the end, nor at the middle, but at the beginning of it. those who rush headlong into the path of conduct because they like it, and then begin to consider whether it is the right one, will probably either induce themselves to believe a lie or refuse to follow discovered truth. When you see the truth along the path, it's too late. I'm too far into this path to get out of it now. So the best time to ponder the journey is at the beginning of it. In Proverbs 4:20-27 of our text, it is revealed just how strictly and narrow God wants us to live. People say, oh, you've got strict rules in your life. Well, God wants us to. Just how carefully we are to examine every area of our lives and how diligently we are to separate from every evil thing. All our ways are to be established in God's will, according to God's word. Every evil thing and every unprofitable thing is to be rejected. Amen? Let's close in prayer.